This is 90.7 Perspectives, a cultural, political, and social chat.
The two of us together work with every victim, and we follow their case from the very beginning.
You're paying for the cost of education, folks who are not supposed to be here at all. You and I absorb that cost.
Oh, I say it's the best time.
Oh, it's the best time.
It's
like
the best time to be a hornet.
And now here's your host, Rob Taylor.
Tonight, we are broadcasting live from Jackson Hospital in Montgomery, where the community outreach continues. We'll talk to Janet McQueen, Vice President of Marketing and Development and President of the Jackson Hospital Foundation, about a drive they are holding to help medical workers at DCH Regional Hospital in Tuscaloosa. Will you take monetary donations as well?
The monetary donations, yes, but I really do believe that we want to zero in on the need and try to help these people, do the shopping for them, and just make it available to them to take that burden off of them.
Mm-hmm. What has been the response from the Jackson Hospital employees?
I can't tell you how proud I am of our employees. They actually started talking about doing something immediately, and there's a spirit of giving here. And some of our employees who are at the lower end of the pay scale were the first ones in with bags filled with diapers and hand wipes and antiseptic lotion, and it's just rejuvenating to see the love that exists for people that you don't know.
WVAS News reporter Kaven Brown talked to Molly Baldwin, Vice President of Development at DCH, to get her reaction to the outpouring by Jackson.
Jackson Hospital here in Montgomery has decided to adopt DCH, if I can use that phrase, and they are holding a drive to collect items, contact lens solution, clothes, things of that nature, to help the employees there. Tell me your reaction when you heard about what they wanted to do to help DCH's employees.
Oh, goodness. Well, I was very touched. I got Janet McQueen is my counterpart at Jackson Hospital, and she had been through Katrina at a hospital in Mississippi and was on the phone with me first thing Thursday morning saying, I want to help you in any way I can, I advise you, I've been through this, what can we do to help? And it only took about 2 hours before we had worked with human resources in the hospital and had gotten things started for the employee store. We're anticipating two pretty big trucks from Montgomery tomorrow, and are very excited about that support.
This session, the Alabama legislature passed an immigration bill that officers of the law have some responsibility to enforce. This group also has some concerns with the law. Joining me to address this issue is Robert D. Bobby Timmons. He's executive director of the Alabama Sheriff's Association. From a law enforcement perspective, what are your thoughts on immigration reform?
Well, first and foremost, we're an enforcement agency. The sheriff is an enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. And so the immigration bill, we say that we're for anything that will better the society. So this is a good law, but it's a double-bladed sword. Same time, you're for part of it, but another part, if you're for it too much, being a double-bladed sword, it will cut you. Mm. I mean, you don't want to bankrupt agriculture, and that's what you can very easily do on this bill. When strawberries are ready to pick, you got to pick them in, or the birds are going to get them the next day. When tomatoes are ready to be picked, you got to pick them in. When onions are ready to come out of the ground, when corn's ready, when the peach is up here in Chilton County, a lot of the Alabama-born or a lot of the American-born people don't want them jobs. We've had it too easy. We've always liked it easy in the air conditioning and everything. These people will work. If we went out to their house, they may have six or seven kids in there that never got out of the first grade because they didn't go send them back to school because they didn't want to be deported. The child needs to be educated. Mm-hmm. Child's a natural-born citizen. Unfortunately, the mother and daddy is not. So now we're going to handicap that child, going to penalize that child. And it has a main citizen right just like me and you. So there's a lot of elements you have to look at. Profiling is a big thing. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. It's a nasty word. They use the word in the past. We've always used the word racial profiling. But profiling is profiling, whatever you're playing under. And so this bill covers that. It says it shall not. Well, really what it kind of gets me on the profiling part, there's a lot of places in the code where the user shall not, but in profiling it says may not. And I don't know why they put that in there. John Morton, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director, which falls under this, ICE people. Mm-hmm. That's when you hear, I'm ICE. That's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He says, released a memo authorizing the agency to exercise procedural direction. Well, that to me is profiling. When you start making selections on how you're going to make an arrest, that's profiling. So there's a lot of liability elements in it that's bad.
The efforts by the states to pass immigration reform laws have many up in arms. Civil rights groups have filed lawsuits to block the legislation. Tonight, we are joined by the Alabama Appleseed Center for Law and Justice. Legal Director Shay Farley will talk about their opposition to the bill.
Like we are in this lawsuit in Alabama, we're more likely than not to succeed on the merits once the case had been decided. And you also have to prove that folks will substantially be harmed by that. So it's a two-pronged test. And the judge said, you know what, in each of these four states, we think the plaintiffs are going to win. And we know harm will be done if this law goes into effect. So the judge, in effect, has stopped all of those laws. Mm-hmm. Our legislators in Alabama knew that. They knew the Arizona injunction was in place, and they knew the Utah injunction was in place. Before the governor signed it, Georgia passed their injunction. So here's three examples where our legislature decided to close their eyes and act like that didn't happen. And that's why, you know, we're facing a very expensive lawsuit.
We've heard everyone else's perspective on the state's immigration law. Tonight, we'll talk to State Senator Scott Beeson, who wrote the legislation.
I think it's interesting. You know, I live in Gardendale, Alabama, small town Alabama for the most part, and Al Jazeera came to my house to talk about Alabama's immigration law. I never could have anticipated that it would be this big. But the honest thing is, I think the most interesting part is it probably doesn't deserve to be near this big. The media in general has fanned this flame that's one of the reasons it's gotten so big. If I read some of the news articles about the bill and I believed what some of these news agencies said, I wouldn't like it either, but it simply doesn't do all those things.
My first guest will be the new commander and president of Air University, Lieutenant General David Fadock. General Fadock, first of all, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Rob.
Tonight's show has been prompted due to the tragic events of 9/11. If you would, share with us your thoughts on how this event has affected America.
Well, I would say that as we approach the 10th anniversary, it gives us an opportunity not just to look back, but as importantly, to look forward. Looking back, you know, clearly it's important to honor the victims, the lives lost on that tragic day. But looking back also, you've got to be just incredibly impressed by what some refer to as the 911 generation. It's the servicemen and women who have signed up to continue to ensure our security during this past decade of war on the front lines in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and around the world. And then as we look forward, I have every confidence that what will continue to carry us through the future is the same thing that has carried us through the past 10 years as a nation, and that is our resilience. The terrorists who attacked us on that day aimed not just to kill U.S. citizens, they aimed to instill fear in our people, to undermine the very values for which this nation stands. We have not allowed them to succeed on that front, and our resilience will ensure that they will not succeed in the future.
Nearly 2 years ago, Casey Gwynn from San Diego, California, came to Montgomery, Alabama to introduce a concept that will improve the process domestic violence, sexual assault, child and elder abuse victims go through. For the past year, these crime victims have been able to go to the one place, Family Justice Center, and have all of their needs addressed. Tonight, we are live from the center and will talk with a few of the agencies who are housed here, including is Executive Director Steve Searcy. Your name and professional reputation are synonymous with fighting domestic violence. What motivated you and continues to motivate you to work in this capacity of law enforcement?
I encountered a lot of victims during the course of 34 years with the police department, going back to my early years as a tactical officer with our department, encountering children in homes of domestic violence. But I think the springboard that really pushed me to the point that I knew we had to change the way we did things rather than just to respond and report and arrest, to shift to prevention and intervention, was the Robinson case in 2007. And that was the case where the three children, 4, 8, and 11, were murdered at the hands of their own father after a case in municipal court where the offender had been found guilty and was released on his own recognizance after the victim had pled with the judge in the municipal court. And that was on a Thursday. And on the Sunday night of their 12th anniversary, he murdered those three children and killed himself. And I responded to the scene. There's some calls that you can wash off you. There's some calls that you will never forget. I'll carry that one to my soul.
Well, what is the One Place Family Justice Center? I didn't know what to expect when I arrived here, but what I've seen so far, I'm quite impressed.
It's a multidisciplinary approach to special victims, those being victims of domestic violence, elder abuse, child abuse, and sexual assaults. It's a wraparound services of seamless delivery of those services to those victims.
And what is the goal of the One Place Family Justice Center?
The goal is to intervene early. The goal is to stop the domestic violence, to stop the abuse. And through prevention and intervention, that's how we accomplish that.
And if you would, generically speaking, walk us through the process a victim goes through when they come here.
A victim comes in the front door. We bring them through the lobby area into the intake area. We give them a purple form, kind of like a restaurant menu. They pick out the services that they want. They're identified there to where they need to go in the Family Justice Center by an intake screener, that person being the Family Sunshine Center advocate, and they identify whether they need a safety plan, a protection order, what type services, legal services, the police department, whatever services we have to give that victim, then they identify that and they guide them, direct them, and navigate them through the Family Justice Center.
When you say the services, talk a little bit about the services that are offered here. I've heard people say it's a one-stop shop.
And it's a super Walmart, if you will, for victims. They can come in the front door and they can see someone from the district attorney's office who can help them with the prosecution of a criminal case. They can see someone from the Family Sunshine Center, an advocate who can assist them in counseling. They can see someone from legal services that can assist them with civil legal matters. They can see someone from Jones Law School who can also assist them with civil legal matters. They can see someone from the Sexual Assault STAR program that can assist them if they have that situation. And then they can also see the members of the domestic violence unit, the Montgomery Police Department, upstairs, and they're up there for a reason. So if the victim wants to come through the front doors, go through all of the services of the Family Sunshine Center, they can. If they don't want to have contact with law enforcement, they don't have to. But if they're in need of that service, then they're ready, willing, and able to assist them.
You've been listening to 90.7 Perspectives with Rob Taylor. Join us next time for more evening cultural, political, and social chat with local and national public figures. Thanks for listening.